Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here is your host of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Dr. Matt Koepke, man, I know this guy for almost 7 years. The first time I met him, we just talked about it a couple minutes ago. I started dental school, and this guy comes in and he's doing an externship in an oral surgery department, and I'm a D1, and this guy's...
Dude, you're just geeking out.
I think he was a D3 at the time.
Right? I was a little bit of an overachiever, so I started things early.
Yeah. So anyway, so I remember seeing him and I was like, man, this guy's cool. I mean, he's coming to our school. He's in West Virginia, I believe, is when you went to dental school. And anyways, we kept in touch. It's almost been 7 years. Now I see him, he's gone completely around the globe. This guy lectures in Australia. He's got books on Amazon. Nice. He's a bestseller, young oral surgeon.
I love it. Millennials kicking ass. That's what the whole point of this is.
Kicking ass.
Well, Matt, we'll get to let you introduce yourself here in a second. First ever video recording.
We also want to have that. I wouldn't want to call it older pops or the docs that have been around for a long time.
I'll call them older.
What we want to do is to make this whole industry thriving and being able to be working in a field where young and old dentists get along in a very successful practice. Now, we thought about a general dentist and the general dental practice.
Let's let him introduce himself.
Right, but also oral surgeons. So let's go on.
Tell everybody who is Dr. Koepke.
Well, I appreciate you all letting me kind of do this with you. I think it's fantastic. So my name is Matt Koepke. I grew up in West Virginia, and I think what you are doing is kind of connecting the world, especially with today's technology. I think it's fantastic that, you know, I'm in West Virginia, you two are in Tennessee, and we're able to do a podcast / a video cast. And I think that kind of summates everything in this new world that we live in, and that we're utilizing technology to collaborate and stuff. So the pleasure's all mine for sure. And going back to his story, externing, it's amazing how 7 years later, things are coming back to collaboration. Now, obviously, there was a hiatus in between those 7 years of both us grinding and studying.
Absolutely.
But it's amazing how just to be a normal person and being polite and not burning bridges, how that's coming full circle too. So I think that's a huge one as well to understand.
For sure. So you're a oral surgeon. First specialist we've had on the podcast, other than our buddy Holstinger, who's a pediatric dentist. So tell us kind of how that happened. How'd you get there? Give us a little bit of background on that process. Because we have obviously a ton of young listeners who may want to do oral surgery. So tell us your journey a little bit, how you got there.
Sure. I think mine's very special and it's emotional at the same time. You know, I was a physics major. You know, what physics does is that it allows you to problem solve and approach problems in a different perspective than if you were a chemist or a biology major. And I think that's what really separates and makes us so appealing, is that you have to know mathematics, you have to know biology, you have to know physics. And so we're kind of like the hard science engineer, so to speak.
Physics is my first C ever, by the way.
Yeah, it's...
man, I think my only one...
I hear that a lot, actually. You wouldn't be allowed in the house. No, I'm joking. So after physics, actually, my general dentist convinced me after a number of years to go into dentistry, because I wanted to do plastic surgery. But I went into dentistry and then fell in love with oral maxillofacial surgery before entering dentistry. So I knew what my path was while studying for each semester. And then
what made you fall in love with that? Like, what was like the trigger that's like, that's what I'm going to do before I even get there?
Great question. So I think this is my personal belief, is that confidence rules the world, right? It's not cockiness, it's confidence. And so the examples that I use is, you know, a female who may be nervous, but if she has the confidence, she may ask out that boy that ends up being her husband, or that guy who is shy, who is confident during the job interview, may land his dream job. So confidence really rules the world. And so with dentistry, whether you're a GP or a specialist, we can provide very immediate satisfaction and confidence building procedures to literally change someone's quality of life. And that's what makes me smile. And so with surgery, I essentially wanted to have all bases covered. So I wanted to be the best in the industry. And so what I'm trying to do, my mission statement of being a surgeon, is to influence GPs and specialists to work as a team. You know, I don't care that I'm a surgeon, but I want to be able to use my title in terms of influencing others to come to a team.
Sure.
And quite frankly, there's nothing against being a GP, but I think by kind of shouting up is harder than me 100%. Influencing down, if that 100%. Makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Get that.
It's actually one of my questions. One of the things I wrote down that I wanted to ask you is that, what do you think? Okay, so for in our podcast, because we want to kind of relate this to what our mission statement is with our millennial podcast. And tell us a little bit about, what do you think right now, if you walked into an oral surgery dental clinic or oral surgeon's office, and there's somebody's working there, an old oral surgeon's there for many years, and you're coming in as the young oral surgeons that are. So I want to kind of relate to all these oral surgeons that are now getting out. Sure. How would you recommend
the state of oral surgery?
Correct. Right now, what do you think?
Yeah. Great question. So, you know, with me, I actually interviewed with a corporate surgeon position. I would say I was flirting with the idea more than actually going to take it. And it sounded very lucrative. You know, it was appealing because I essentially would have my own office. And that's the same with general dentistry. But what I realized is, you have to look within yourself, because something that I know is different, because it's a part of my mission statement, is that I'm a different type of person. I'm a different surgeon, just like how I was a physics major. I'm just I'm a rare breed. Not that I'm better or worse. And so what I decided is, even though there were jobs to either go into academics, go into corporate, be an associate, if you believe you have a good brand about yourself, then it's okay to take that leap and to go into private practice as your own boss, if that makes sense. But I think what it boils down is who you are as a person. I mean, you know, some people don't mind showing up, working, you know, 9 to 5, knowing that it's someone else's building, and if there's a flood or a tornado, they literally walk away from it. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with it. That's that personal preference. So if that's their preference, then this is the perfect job. The other thing too is, corporate dentistry does make it easy, right? I mean, they have deeper pockets. They're able to build brick and mortar and say, hey, buddy, why don't you come in? We'll take good care of you. There's nothing wrong with that. As a specialist, what happens is they take a certain percentage. So say a specialist produces $1 million for the year, I may only see 40% of that, and they take 60. So some people may think that's unfair. That's normal, because they have to pay expenses as well. However, if you're a person that can handle your own expenses and don't mind the fact that when you do lock that door and there is a flood, you as an owner is responsible, then you don't give up that 60%. You keep 100%, but you also have to pay the cost that the corporate guys are paying as well. So it really comes down to personality and comfortability.
No, I think that's a good point. And I think ultimately, like, you know, and most people who are listening to podcasts probably they have a little more higher expectations, or they want more than just going in and getting a check every month from where they work, right? I mean, I think some of the biggest pride in what we do as dentists is basically being able to cultivate our own business out of something and make it your own brand, and how you treat your patients, deal with patients, and that it, you get to kind of mold that. So I think that's great. So you, when did you graduate from oral surgery?
So 6 months ago.
Okay, so 6 months ago. So what have you done for last six? Because you're in the middle of a startup, correct?
Yeah. So just to be clear, graduated physics degree, went straight into dentistry, then went straight into oral surgery. So I graduated at the age of 30 as a surgeon, which is as young as it goes. And I'm no one special.
You knew what you wanted and you went for it. Yeah.
Exactly. So what happens is June 2016, I actually encourage this for everybody, is I traveled the world. So I went on this amazing trip with my dad for a full month. We went to Australia, Taiwan, Belgium, London for a full month. And
this is great. This is so millennial. Yeah. Like, old people don't do this kind of stuff, right? I mean, like,
and what's awesome too, man, is after that month trip, I went back to Australia to live there for 2 months. And while I was still, I actually got more stuff done in Sydney, Australia than I did if I was back in the States. And so I was building the company. I was studying for my national boards. And then I moved back in October in West Virginia.
Wow. So that's crazy. So you're about to open your doors.
Yeah.
So, basically since residency here, like a month.
So yeah, but I've been working for 2 months. So what I did is I partnered with another GP.
Okay.
On Friday. So this is something for the listeners to understand is my entity, Appalachian Oral Surgery Center, pays the GP rent on Fridays. We're not affiliated, right? This is something
which is genius, by the way. I have a good buddy doing this too.
You're over
so it's nothing right now. Right?
So if you think about it,
staff too? Are you bringing in your own people? Or
I brought in my own people. One actually happens to be from the staff that works there. So it's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, so I've been doing that for about 2 months while I'm building the headquarters. So this is the other thing too, is you have to be okay with not making money. Cause think about it. I'm only working Fridays, right?
Yeah.
But I'm also chasing my dreams with my own company. So to the people who have families or, you know, it's tough. I mean, you're not bringing home money to feed the family. As a single person who can live off a little bit of money, I know this is what's needed to build my dream. So there's a big mental component about this as well. It's not fit for everybody because.
So, I mean, are you kind of like eating ramen noodles and basically, I mean, because people are wondering there, right? Like, how is this guy travel the world?
What about the loans?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm going to be honest because that's what people got to be wondering, like, because this is awesome. They're like, well, shoot, how the heck is he doing that?
Or even to Australia for 2 months. Or like, because this is my thought process before I graduated is, I need a job a week after.
I
love the idea of traveling, but what I thought, and I could have got more loans. But
payments over here, like, shit.
I need more money. Like, I need to start paying this back. I need to prepare myself. So tell us a little bit about the other type of, like, what about all that
money?
Yeah.
Share that.
Yeah. So you got to be careful, man, because, you know, that's what I call the rat race, okay, is this fear of, right, as professionals, we want to be perfect in everything, right? We've been studying for 20 years, and you got to get out of that mindset because what happens is, listen, man, I've wasted my 20s in the library, okay?
Like, sure.
You know what I mean? I've done a lot of fun things. I have zero regrets. But if you quickly jump into another job, then what happens is you may never find yourself. You know, like when I was in London, I had two life epiphany moments and one in Hong Kong. And so what happens is if I never would have went on those trips and then would have just jumped in that rat race wheel, right? Then I would have never had these three epiphany moments for me to self grow. So that's why it's okay to be unemployed, in that this sense of urgency is something that we create within ourselves. It's all false. Like,
I totally agree.
But I agree. But at the same time, I mean, you're clearly the kind of person who will be able to dig yourself out of any hole because you're talented and you're driven and you're whatever. But not everybody needs to probably do that, though. I mean, right? I mean, don't you think that, isn't that like a scare for some people that, like, I don't know. I'm thinking out loud,
like,
right?
Like you said, I think his personality is what makes him make these decisions, not just anybody. I think it's
You know, I know that I am different, but at the same time, I do give everyone the benefit of the doubt, because I'll tell you this, man. I believe in what's called shocking the body, okay? And I purposely put myself, and I believe everyone should do this, I purposely put myself in uncomfortable situations, not dangerous, but uncomfortable, like living in Sydney, Australia. Because when you shock your body and shock your mind by putting yourself in uncomfortable situations, like traveling the world or doing a one-year fellowship, what that does is it gets your mind out of its routine. And I think that's where the best creativity comes. And so what happens is if you go to school for 4 years and then dental school for 4 years and then get a job for 20 years, you're never shocking your body. And so you don't have these creative epiphany moments, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's crazy.
I mean, it's deep. I mean,
It's perfect, because I mean, we all get worked up. And that's true with a lot of, even like, what? We are now in 29, 30, 30 years old, but we're talking about now some people that needed this back 20 years ago and they never got that opportunity to find themselves.
Well, so, and two things. One is, I think I love this because I think there are so many people who graduate and all they see is like $250,000 in debt. And so they're like, what do I do? And then,
great question.
You know, and they're like, they're just like that. They're literally blindfolded out of that, right? So they're like, okay, so how do I move forward? And then there's the flip side of that is, and what I love about this, because I spent 10 days in Italy back in August, and we're going to South Africa for 2 weeks in April, you know, just because. And I think that's, I love that about our generation, right? Because I don't know, your dad may have done this, but I don't know many of my people my parents' age or older dentists who did this type of thing. Or who have done this type of thing over their career, where the life work life balance, right? I think that's something that we're a little better at, you know. And I hope that we can, you know, to older listeners, that's something that I want our generation to kind of impress on them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's so. I'll tackle your question about the student loans, because that's definitely valid. So the nice thing is they have options out there. So they have income based loans, right? So
yep.
I don't mind talking about money because I think it's important for the listener. So my student loans are 220 at a fixed 6.8%. Okay.
I love it. So that everybody hear that. Okay. 220, 6.8%. And the bro just spent 6 months traveling the world.
Yeah.
All right. So, I love it. Okay. I love it. Keep going.
So here's the thing. This is
up, you're crazy or beautiful yet.
So this is where you got to be intelligent too, is I switched my income-based loans off of my $55,000 I was making as an oral surgery resident. Okay,
right.
So my loans are now $260 a month. Right, that's less than car payments. Mm-hmm. So you can see how I've taken a scary number of 220 at 6.8%. And I've now dropped it to $260. That's less than what people spend on dinners, okay, each month.
Now, how did you come about it? Is this all self-research you did? Do you have somebody that helps you with financial kind of stuff like this? Or talk about that.
Great question. So no, this is all easily available to everyone. It's just, one of the problems with millennials nowadays is they don't look into anything, right? They want someone to help them out. So I am going to call out some of these listeners, because all you have to do is go on to Great Lakes, which is what I have, and it will literally say, do you want to pay the monthly payment, which is based off the entire principal, or do you want to do income-based loans? And all you they so it's simple. It's just millennials don't look. And right. So
there's a lot of problems in millennials. This is one of them that he's right.
All it took was for me to send in my W-2. I mean, that's easy.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about oral surgeons, young and old.
Oh, good question. So the problem that I see is, and I think this is in dentistry, but definitely surgery and perio and whatnot, is what really bothers me is the lack of team approach. And I can say that because I'm an oral surgeon, is I personally don't care about titles, okay? I'm a surgeon because it's my passion. If someone wants to be a dental hygienist, it's their passion. It's not because you're better than them. It's not because they're not as smart. That's what they chose. So you need to accept that. So the way that I look at things is who strip the titles away. The beautiful thing is that we've been all cut from the same fabric called dentistry.
Right.
That's where we need to lie together. And then you need to decide, okay, is this person a good person or is this person's a bad person? And that's what it comes down to. It's not, oh, you're a periodontist, so I'm not going to teach you anything because I'm a surgeon. No, it's, oh my gosh, you're a periodontist. You may know something better than I do. Will you let me shadow you? You know what I mean? Those are the things we should be talking about, not, I'm a surgeon and I deserve everything, because that's what's ruining dentistry, is we're losing the team aspect. But also on the flip side, if you're a GP or you're a periodontist and you're not trained in something, it is your ethical duty to accept the fact that you're not trained in it, so don't do it, right? So it does go both ways.
And I don't know if it's an older or younger thing or what, but I do feel like most of the younger specialists that I know are much kind of like you talked about, that team approach, more willing to listen, more willing to have conversations, discussion, teach, that kind of thing, versus older ones not wanting to kind of be back, I'm the oral surgeon, blah, 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 I'm going to do it my way, and that sort of thing.
I think the biggest problem with all of this is perspective, is the word literally perspective, because I don't think it's necessarily fair for the older guys to say, the younger guys, they feel entitled and all this stuff. That's not fair, because it's the environment that was created for us while we were growing up, right? So you can't start attacking us because, iPhones happen to be invented.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, sure. It's not fair. And at the same time, I think we have to be very careful in terms of how we look at the older generation. Now,
because they didn't have that. They didn't have technology like we did.
Right. But this is what it comes down to, is regardless of age and generation, the commonality between both parties is you have to be fluid with change, right? So if the older generation did not have iPhones, maybe their communication's less. However, they need to accept that this is real. This is going to stay. So therefore, as a human being, you need to adapt, for the same reason as, we're used to this all the time. Maybe the millennials' fault is, we're texting and sending an email, whereas the older generation are used to phone calls. So that's where we need to adapt and not be texting all the time, and maybe actually call the older Dennis.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Instead of relying on, does that make sense?
So no, totally. The
analogy
absolutely.
Is
no, the perspective, like you said, is the key word here.
Right. So you can't, you know, but both parties have to change. Like you gotta adapt to
there's
what's
a middle ground.
Yeah, exactly. I think the biggest difference between the older crew and the millennials, honestly, I do believe that the older crew does an incredible job of knowing what they're doing and what they're prescribing. I think that their fundamental education is better because whereas with the millennials, I do think that
we tend to check boxes and move on.
Exactly. You know, right. Even though we have the technology, I think we don't understand the fundamentals and the principles as much as our parents do. And I would say
totally
we could
agree.
All do a better job of understanding what we're doing, not just doing it. And I think it's just, you know, this is one of the reasons why I wrote that book, you know, is it's nothing fancy, right? This is not, you know, and this is not me coming up with this new idea. The way I look at life is, someone is trusting me to lay in my chair,
yeah.
Right? To cut on them, whether it's a tooth, an implant, or just a filling, right? I mean, this is all under the same umbrella. So as a human being, right? This has nothing to do with you as a doctor or someone as a nurse. This is just a human being to a human being. That person should know what you're doing to them and what you're putting in them.
It's doing what should be the standard, but sometimes we fall so short of that.
Right, exactly.
So this has been good. I enjoy it because that's a totally different. Your perspective is just different, right? It's a different view because it's a specialist perspective.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.